Amen. No tears. What a wonderful, wonderful day.
Amen.
That is going to be.
Amen.
As we enter into the kingdom to be with our Father, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ,
Amen.
The Holy Spirit, and with others that died in faith. Wonderful, wonderful day.
Yeah.
On this morning, as we come together, I want us to focus on life. Focus on the joys that God has bestowed upon us. And be very, very thankful.
Amen.
Again, Brother Simmons in his prayer, over 10 times thanking God.
Amen.
And in moments when he could not say the words that he wanted to say. Mm-hmm. And we all need to understand that that moment is when the Holy Spirit intercedes for us.
Amen.
And I can just imagine him saying, "Thank you, Father."
Amen.
What a wonderful, wonderful thing that is.
Amen.
To be able to thank God. And I just want to say this, Brother Shanks, the next time somebody tries to get up before you have to get up, just bum rush them. Come on to the podium and do what you have to do. And Brother Colbert, I want to say this, that I don't know what you're happy about, but if anybody should have been rushing up here, it should have been Brother Mark. But I appreciate the brothers wanting and ready to serve God, as we all should. But when it's my turn to get up, I don't see nobody trying to rush up here. Where you at, Brother Brian? You miss your opportunity, but that's all right. That's all right. It is thankful to have brethren that are ready to serve. Ready to serve. This morning, as you have read by now, the first slide here, we're going to be dealing with the tongue. We're going to be dealing with the tongue. It says here, profanity is wrong not simply because it shocks or discusses. Or discussed, but as a much deeper level. Profanity is wrong because it trashes that which God has declared to be holy and good and beautiful. A man by the name of Ray Pritchard penned that. But somebody greater penned that we are created upright. We're created in the image of God. The great preacher by the name of Solomon there in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and the verse is 29. Let us understand who we are and how we are supposed to behave ourselves. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 29. See, this alone I have found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes, profanity being one of them. Profanity being one of them. We need to know who we are, and we need to understand how we are supposed to behave ourselves. And this question has been asked by many of people to many of us. What did you say? What did you say? And a lot of times, we don't have a problem with repeating what we say. And we should, because a lot of times we do not say those things that are right. A lot of times we try to say things under our breath. Say things in a language that we have made up. And the question again is asked, what did you say? If you have said something that God is pleased with, you should not have a problem with repeating it. If you are one of his children. Now, if you're a child of the devil and someone asks you, what did you say? You don't mind saying it, what you said, and adding some to it. But we have to be very, very careful with what we say as children of God. The Bible says in Psalm 34, once again, as the scripture reference was read, and appreciate Brother Shanks for reading it. Psalm 34, verse 13. Psalm 34, verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Now, our mouths have gotten us into a lot of trouble. Or shall I say, our tongues have gotten us into a lot of trouble. The words that have come through, that have pierced our lips, the words that we have spoken, have they always been words seasoned with salt, seasoned in order to bring grace unto the hearers, seasoned in order to uplift someone? Have they always been those words? Now, if you are a perfect person, I believe that was mentioned as well in the prayer. If you are a perfect person, as Jesus is, then you have never done this. You've never done this, but we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I was reading the other day and someone mentioned about you think, and not necessarily me because they was not referring to me, but they said you think that the only sin is homosexuality. And then they began to name all of these other sins, which made me think that the person that wrote that understands that homosexuality is wrong. Because they said, you think that this is the only sin? Well, today we're talking about, and we're going to look at, and we're going to discuss the sins of the tongue. The sins of the tongue. A little bit lengthy there, but we're going to read it anyway. The tongue is you in a unique way. It is the tattletale of the heart and discloses the real person. Not only that, but misuse of the tongue is perhaps the easiest way to sin. There are some sins that an individual may not be able to commit simply because he does not have the opportunity. But there are no limits to what one can say. No built-in restraints or boundaries. In Scripture, the tongue is variously described as wicked, blasphemous, foolish, boasting, complaining, cursing, contentious, sensual, and vile. And that list is not exhaustive. No wonder God put the tongue in a cage behind the teeth, walled in by the mouth.
That's right.
By John MacArthur. You know, y'all don't normally hear me quote people or write quotes down, but I thought that these were necessary this morning for us to get an understanding about how dangerous this thing in our mouths is, this tongue. Now, I said we was going to discuss, and the discussion is not a two-way street this morning. It's one way. I'm discussing it, you're listening, and you will have your opportunity to speak later. The tongue. The question and the reason that I'm looking at this, or we're looking at this lesson this morning, is because on Wednesday night, someone mentioned about the profanity that they use, the things in which they do. I want us to know that we do not have to use profanity. It is a choice. A choice. In the book of James, the chapter is 3, James chapter 3, and I'm not trying to single out anybody. I'm trying to help somebody. Now, I want you just for a moment, we'll come away from the lesson just for a moment, but we're not going to come away from God's Word. I want you to look at the attendance for Sunday morning of last Sunday morning, and then I want you to look at the attendance for Wednesday night. I want to encourage each one of you to make an effort to come to Bible class on Wednesday night. Some Wednesdays we discuss the sermon that I preach on the Wednesday prior, and then sometimes we go way back and we talk about some things. Again, it's from God's Word. But let's make an honest effort to come to Wednesday night Bible class. We miss you when you're not here. And we want to encourage you to come in order that we may continue to exhort one another, to uplift one another. Because that's what God wants us to do as His children. But in the book of James, getting back to the lesson now, James chapter 3 and the verse is 9. James chapter 3 and the verse is 9. With it we bless our Lord and Father. Well, I guess we'd go back up so we'll find out what we need to know what the it is. Verse 7. For every kind of beast and bird of the reptile and creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father. And with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. What does that tell us? That tell us we need to, one more time, we need to stop and listen to yourself, or shall I say, ourselves. Just stop and listen. I was speaking with a man about a year or so ago, and he was talking about talking to himself. And the reason he was talking about this is because I believe someone asked him, why do you talk to yourself? He said, I like to listen to smart people talk. So therefore, I talk to myself. I thought that was very, very good and somewhat encouraging. Not to say that I'm smart or anything, but for him to say that about himself. I mean, we need to uplift ourselves sometimes. We need to stop and listen to what we say. And if we're saying something worthwhile, it's worthwhile repeating. So stop and listen to yourself. Think before you speak. In the book of Proverbs 21 and the verse is 23. Proverbs 21, 23. We just want to understand now, what do we need to do in order to be pleasing to God, in order to keep our tongues, caged again behind the teeth, not saying things that going to bring reproach against the church or things that's going to make us look bad. He says in Proverbs 21, 23, whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. God's word is true.
Amen. Amen.
Whoever keeps his mouth and his tongue keeps himself out of trouble. So we need to Think before we speak. Many people have fired themselves from jobs because of their tongue. Many people have lost their homes because of their tongue. Many people have gotten citations or certificates from a city that is a ticket because they did not watch their tongue. The old saying goes, when the officer stopped someone and he had a passenger, and the officer slapped this individual and he walked around and then slapped the other guy, and he said, "Why did you slap me?" He said, "Because I know when you got down the road, you would have said, I would not have let him do that to me." It's because of what we say. People know, you know, sometimes what we're going to do and how we're going to do it because of the expression on our faces. So sometimes we need to get straightened out. We need to understand that God is the one really that can straighten us out. We can't do it by ourselves. We need Christ in our lives. Let's not give up on Him. Let's not fault Him. Let's look. And I've said this, let's go to the mirror and look in the mirror and say, the things that are happening in my life are because of me. And I need to change. We don't let anybody, but anybody, nobody, dictate on how we're going to live, what we're going to say. Let's live the right way. Let's say the right things. In the book of James, chapter 1, and the verse is 26. James, chapter 1. And the verse is 26. God's word is true. There's a lot of people that think that they're somebody, but yet they're nobody. A man look at you and say, "I thought that you were a Christian." And the reason they're saying this is because of the things that you're saying. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Yeah. Worthless. You know, this word, worthless, it portrays an individual as a reprobate. Yeah. One that has fallen away. One that has looked at God's word and has understood God's word, but yet not wanting to follow His word. James is not talking to the world. He's talking to Christian folk. And I want us to understand that if you think that you're religious, but yet you're saying just whatever comes to your mind, you're deceiving your heart. You're not that person that God wants you to be. And He said that this man's religion is worthless. Worthless. Just as those individuals were in Romans chapter 1. They were worthless. And God gave them up. So if your religion is worthless, that means your worship is unacceptable. God has given you up, and you need to make a change before it is too late. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, we have to love God's word. He tells us in many different places how to speak, what to speak, how to conduct ourselves. Says here in Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." You ever heard your child or someone heard your child say something and came and told you about it, and you say, "No way my child said that. Not my son. Not my daughter. No, no way." Yes way. Yes way. Our children will say things when they're not around us, when they're comfortable around not only their friends, but around adults. They will say things that they think make them bigger. Say things that they think that will draw people closer to them or even when they're trying to fit in. You can't live like that. Trying to please man and think that you're pleasing God. You cannot live like that. I remember Tim coming home and we had purchased a small recorder for him. And there he was at school and he was recording people, using his recorder like it was a mic and things of that nature, and recording people. And somewhere down the line, actually, no, he did not forget. He knew exactly what he was doing. And he spoke some words that he should not have been speaking. And we heard those words and was like, wow. Not out of our son. No, Tim, this, no way, this is you. He could not deny it. Could not deny it. Where did you learn those words? Even way before that happened, long before. Where did you hear that from? And you know what we used to do? Some of you that are over the age of 50 that had children, go in there and get the soap and wash your mouth out. And some of you that are over the age of 60 did not have to go get soap. You just got popped in the mouth. And some of you that are 10 and below probably have got popped in the mouth for saying things that you shouldn't say. Not that it would, you know, break the skin of the lips or swell up your lips, but so that you may understand that, no, you don't say that. Things that are displeasing to God. Things that you do not hear in the home, but you hear outside the home. Leave them out there. Amen. And separate yourself away from the people that are speaking those things. Amen. And for you children that are going to places or being sent to places where people are speaking things that they should not speak, tell your parents so that they will not send you back to that place. Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't say, well, that's where my friends are, or that's where my friend lives. That may be where your friend lives, but the parents are not friends of yours. So therefore, you should not be subjected to their language. Let us do what is right. Let us speak the things that are right, for it is pleasing unto God. In the book of Matthew chapter 12, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. The good person, out of the good treasure, brings forth good. And the evil person, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Amen. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Amen. I did not mean to say that. What did you mean to say? Again, you have to be careful what you ask people, because they will tell you, I meant to say this. And hopefully they are saying something good. Or I meant to say this, and then they just go off on you. The most ridiculous thing that I believe, one of them anyway, that I've ever heard is when you hear a Christian use profanity, and then they realize that you are there in their presence, and they say, that slipped out. That is a lie. You don't use profanity, now you're lying. No telling what else you'll do. So I have to keep my eye on you, or I separate away from you. Because what we say lets people know who we really are. Tell me how you really feel. You don't want to ask some people that. Because again, they will tell you. Christian folk now, they will tell you exactly how they feel. And a lot of times You're shocked by that, but don't be shocked by it. Don't be shocked by it. Because the words they're speaking to you are words that they have spoken to somebody else. Yes, back in my mind, there are many words that you all have never heard me say. And you all, I'm going to say it like this, hopefully will never hear me say them. They're there. Now, these new words that people are coming up with to put in the place of profanity, curse words, I have to go back sometime and I have to use the Urban Dictionary, whatever that thing is called, and look up those words. I say, that has to have some type of meaning to it. Let me look that up. Oh, no, you're not going to use that in this house. No way. So we have to stay abreast on some of those things. I don't know anything about the favorite basketball players, football players, track stars, and all of that. But some of these words I have to stay on top of. Because we have children that go to school. We have grandchildren that go to school. Or we have, you know, family members that work out there in the world. And they come home and they use these words. And it's like, what does that mean? So we need to look them up. Because those words are now in their heart. And if they're in their heart, they're going to come out if they're hanging out with the wrong people. Amen. So we need to start hanging out with some good people. And who dictates who is good? God does.
That's right.
God does. Learning how to speak. Learning how to speak. His first word was daddy. But mama keeps him all day. Why is his first word daddy? Because as soon as mama turned her back, their daddy is talking to the baby and saying, say daddy, say daddy. And she better say daddy. That's what they're expecting, isn't it? Learning how to speak. We are trained how to speak. So some of us need to be retrained. Because we're speaking the wrong thing. We're saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. Or maybe we're saying the wrong thing at the right time and somebody's there to correct us. We need to be corrected from time to time, don't we? See, we're not who we used to be. We're not who we used to be as a child of God. And we need to understand that and we need to accept that. We're not who we used to be. We don't talk the way we used to talk. We should not talk the way we used to talk. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Your non-Christian friend is standing by while somebody is talking bad about you. And they understand that you have never in their presence used any profanity. And they look at you and they say, you want me to curse them out for you? And some of us, yeah, go ahead. And we enjoy it. And some of us say, I don't need you to do anything for me. I can handle this situation. So instead of cussing them out, we need to pray for them.
Amen.
And pray for the person that asks you, do they want you to curse them out for you? Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. That old man is gone. His ways should be left in the watery grave. Oh, yeah, I forgot something. What did you forget? Nothing in that water that you left there is useful to this new life that we have. So let's do what is right. Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. In the knowledge of God. How does God want you to speak? What does God want you to say? We need to go to the book. And we need to read it. We need to study up on it. And we need to apply it to our lives in order that we may walk the way God wants us to walk.
Amen.
That we may talk the way God wants us to talk. I don't walk like I used to walk. I don't talk like I used to talk. You know, a lot of people from time to time will mess with individuals because of the way they walk. Change your walk. If it's going to make people say certain things about you, change the way you walk. And then, again, make sure that you're looking at your speech and you're saying the things that God wants you to say. And then we'll go back again. Look at this verse. Look at this verse again in Ephesians 4:29. Let us know that God loves us. And when we look at it, again, know again, these things are in your mind, but they don't have to come out. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths. So I'm going to say again about that verse. Let no corrupt talk, well, that's all I'm going to read. Let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. Do not be disrespectful to anybody. Do not say things to anybody that you do not want said to you. Jesus is our best example.
Amen.
When they talked bad about him, can you imagine? He just looking at them. When they reviled against him, he did not revile back. He accepted those things because this is what the Father wanted him to do. When someone curses you out, accept it. Let it be as water on a duck's back. Don't allow it to faze you. Keep on moving. Keep on praying. Keep on talking to the Father. Learning how to speak. You see someone that somebody is talking bad to, and they're accepting those things, and you are having a problem with how people talk to you and you treat them the way they're treating you, go to that person and ask them, how do you do it? How do you do it? There's only one way that we can do it, and that is with Christ. Being our guide, being our greatest example. So let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. Proverbs 16:23. Remember talking to a gentleman on the phone. And some of you already know when we talk on the phone, I like to play. And I called this person's house. So it wasn't his house, but he was there and he answered the phone. And I was playing on the phone. I thought that he knew who I was, which it really didn't matter who I was. He shouldn't have never said what he said, how he said it, but he cursed me straight out. And hung up on me. And as good as I felt, I called back. And I, whoa. I didn't want to get another curse. And I told him who I was, and he apologized. And to this day, every now and then, he'll look at me and he'll laugh and he'll apologize again. And then I had a man right down the road who cussed me straight out in his house because he thought that I did not know who he was. Cussed. It wasn't just me. It was another preacher as well. Y'all have heard this before. Just cussed us straight out. And to this day, we just laugh about it. And he still says, man, I'm sorry. I said, don't be sorry. Just come on down to worship with us sometime. Need to get next to him. God needs to be in his life. But if you've never been cursed out before, don't worry about it. Your day probably is coming. Hopefully not, but it's probably coming. Proverbs 16:23. Just keep living right, and your day will come. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. You gotta love God's word, right? Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. I love his word. How is your speech today? How wise is your heart? How wise is your heart? See, there's some young people that are wise, and there's some old people that are foolish. Oh, I know many more words than you know. A man called me up not too long ago and was using profanity on the recording that he left for me, and then told me, no, I did not. I said, okay. I guess you didn't in your mind. But in my ears, I heard what I heard. So we got some foolish people that don't care how they talk to whoever. How do you talk to God? How do you talk to God? Are you like Job's wife mentioned it to him, why don't you curse God and die? See, we've got a lot of people that don't have a problem with cursing God. Job said, you sound like one of the foolish women. See, we got some foolish people that will curse God when things are not right in their lives, when they think that this is not supposed to be happening to them. Well, who is it supposed to be happening to? You are that person. As Nathan told David, you are that person that it needs to happen to. Because the next man may not be able to take it. And he may curse God and die. Things happen in our lives and we accept them and we move forward. Because we have learned how to speak. So let's do what's right. Let's be the people that God wants us to be. Maybe you're here this morning and you are not a child of God, and you have a problem with the way you talk to people. Well, become one. Allow that sin to be washed away and become a child of God and learn how to speak to people. Amen. Learn how. Do what is right. Say what is right. Amen. Be right. Maybe you're here this morning and you are a child of God and you have not spoken the way God has wanted you to. Ask him to forgive you. Maybe you have said something to somebody that you shouldn't have said. Go to them and get it right and then come back to God. Get it right with him. If you're here this morning and you're not one of his children, hearing the word allows you to gain faith. In Romans 10:17. Believing that Jesus is the Christ, our greatest example, the Son of God. Believe in that. And if you don't, you would die in your sins, according to John 8:24. Be willing to repent, to give up that old life, that way of talking that is not right in the eyes of God. Give those things up. Because we are commanded to repent, according to Luke 13:3 and verse 5. Confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. Putting away those idols. Quit idolizing men and said, this is my example here. I love the way he talked. I love that show that he put on. And I hope one day that I'm able to do the same. No. No. We should not be confessing what man is doing, but we should be confessing that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, and Romans 10:10. Believing with the heart and confessing with the mouth. Confessing Jesus before men that he may confess us before his Father who is in heaven. And then being baptized in the watery grave in order to receive salvation. Having our sins washed away according to Acts chapter 22 and the verses 16. Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Because we understand that baptism is what saves. According to 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure, whereunto baptism doth now also save us, not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but to answer a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Now that you are a child of God, guard your hearts. Watch what you say. Watch what you do. Learning how to speak. Yes, just as a person that has been in a terrible car accident, having to go to rehab, there are some Christians that need to go to rehab. Learning how to speak. Watch what you say. Watch how you say it. A lot of times it's not necessarily on what you say, it's how you say it. See, you can change the structure of a sentence just like that by what you say. And I was listening to Brother Simmons' prayer, and he said something in his prayer and made me think just for a moment, did he say that? And he didn't mean it the way I was thinking, but he said the right thing. Again, it's just how he said it made me think. Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. And it's because of Him that we have this opportunity to come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. We need to accept that, and we need to do what is right. So if you're here this morning and you're subject to the invitation, maybe you're an alien sinner that have never come to Christ, have never put Him on through the water of grave or baptism, the invitation is yours. And maybe you are an erring saint. Your language has taken you away from God. Your actions have taken you away from God. Come back to Him today. Come back to Him. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your faults to Him, He's just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. So if you're subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.